Do the Baltimore Ravens need to bring in a veteran wide receiver? We talk about that and more coming up next here on Locked On Ravens.
You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we return here with another episode of Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire, and we're here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And thank you so much for making Locked On Ravens your first listen of the day here. We're free and available on all platforms. That includes over on YouTube, and we are back a midweek edition of the show. And really a lot to dive into today. We're going to be talking about what happened at practice on Tuesday, some studs and duds from there, injury updates, how the Ravens got to 85 players. We'll talk about all that in the first segment. In the second segment, though, I do want to kind of answer and dive into a question that a lot of people have been asking recently, and also really just dating back even to the Marquise Brown trade during that 2020 draft, which is, should the Ravens bring in a veteran wide receiver? But not necessarily should they. I want to look more at, do they need to? Because at this point, we've seen all the big four, and that big four right now being Rashad Bateman, Devin Duvernay, Tylan Wallace, James Prochet, leave in some capacity, miss some time with injuries, some more than others. But at this point, you're looking at guys who have been in, been out. So do the Ravens need to bring in a guy? We'll talk about that in the second segment, what that could look like. In the final segment, we'll be answering some mailbag questions. We got a ton of mailbag questions. I greatly appreciate everybody who asked those mailbag questions. We got a lot of good stuff, a lot of different topics to cover there as well. So I'm excited to dive into those as well. So let's dive into all that now here, though, today. Before we do that, though, if you're here, listen audio form. So Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, thank you so much for tuning in wherever you're listening, whenever you're listening. I really do appreciate that. Also, if you're here with us in video form on YouTube, thank you for tuning in, for watching. You can see my face and my background and everything in between here. Thank you so much for that. Be sure to subscribe to this channel, like the video as well. It does help out a ton. And be sure to follow me on Twitter at KaleShirka34 and the Locked On Ravens account at Locked On Ravens, our podcast here 5 days a week, daily Ravens content. So news, analysis, updates. If you want that, be sure to follow us in audio form. Subscribe here on YouTube as well. Let's dive in now, though, talking about this team and just what happened to practice on Tuesday. Well, let's start off with the cuts. We'll do the cuts first and then practice. So Baltimore had to get their roster, as did the rest of the NFL, under the 285 players, not under 285 players. And they ended up, over the course of the couple days here leading up to Tuesday, released a player here, two players there. But on Tuesday, they finally got to that threshold. And the final two cuts on Tuesday were quarterback Brett Hundley and placing Trent Harris, the outside linebacker, on injured reserve. And Harris was actually signed when the Ravens released Devin Williams and Denzel Williams. So you have them at 90 players. They end up releasing two, signing one that put them at 89. And then actually the other three guys they cut in Corey Clement, Robert Jackson, and Brett Hundley. And then also you had the Ravens putting Trent Harris on injured reserve. So yeah, for Baltimore, they end up cutting five guys while also placing one on injured reserve, but they had to sign the guy. So a little confusing there. People thought, oh, maybe they had an extra roster spot. And I know there's a lot of stuff that goes into it, but they actually are to 85 now. So those are the guys that were cut. Hundley was confused, I think, with Tyler Huntley a lot yesterday, which was kind of interesting. I know the Huntley era is over in Baltimore, but I think for the Ravens, going with Anthony Brown as a number three guy, definitely the right decision based off of how he performed. And it's not like Hundley played bad. He ended up completing two of two passes, had a long completion to Riley Webb. So I didn't hate the way he played at all. I thought he'd play decently well. But, you know, Corey Clement, someone who was going to have an uphill battle to face in that running back room, especially with Justice Hill playing the way he did. And then you're looking at the guys, Robert Jackson and also Denzel Williams, who that cornerback room, they are a little like a tiny bit thin, but they have enough depth where I think they weren't going to have a shot to make the roster. Maybe they come back from the practice squad. Who knows what ends up happening there. And then Devin Williams, that wide receiver room, a lot of talent there. Williams, you know, could not play guys like Shamar Bridges or Mekhi Polk or Benjamin Victor, Jalen Moore in that preseason game, Baltimore having to get under that limit. And also the Ravens, they were going to release Chuck Wiley. That report came out, but then they opted not to because Trent Harris ended up leaving the practice with an injury, and now he's on injured reserve. So the Ravens have Chuck Wiley still on their roster. But yeah, so that's how they got to 85 players. We'll also now look to Tuesday's practice, where it seemed to be a day where the defense won, but also you had some highlights from the offensive side of the ball where Lamar Jackson connected with Devin Duvernay for a 70-yard touchdown. These updates obviously coming from Kyle Barber, friend of the show here from Baltimore Beatdown. And the Ravens actually got some good news when they had two guys return to practice in David Sharp and Bailey Gaither. But an injury situation to monitor is the fact that Daniel Falele did leave practice about an hour in, according to Jess Rebeck and other people who were there. So that's definitely something to monitor, because Falele played very well in the first preseason game. And if he had to miss any time, you know, those reps were important. And obviously the key is getting them back to 100% health. You're not trying to rush those guys back. But again, just a situation to monitor overall there. Some of the highlights from practice, though, you saw some sloppy offensive plays like red zone misfires. You have missed catches, penalties, according to Jonah Schaefer of the Baltimore Sun. But you did have Rashad Bateman having two big plays and also two drops. And also you had the offensive line open up some nice running lanes in practice as well. Ardarius Washington was playing in some team drills. You had J.K. Dobbins and Marcus Peters both leaving early, but they're still ramping up. So nothing, you know, awry there, amiss. That's something that is obviously planned by the team, is these guys get back to full game shape, which is the right thing to do. You don't want to rush them back. You don't want to say, hey, go out there and go in team drills and do everything you can when the knee is, you know, you're still working back from that injury. So the Ravens overall in practice, I think it was solid in training camp, kind of coming to a shutdown here. You also had Justin Madubuike and Adafe Owe is the defensive headliners and one-on-one drills, according to Jonah Schaefer. You had Justin Madubuike hitting Kevin Zeitler with a nice swim move on his first rep, at Afaowe dipping and turning a corner against Morgan Moses. And also they both had wins later in the practice. So we've heard about Afaowe, right? He's been on the minds of many of this offseason in terms of, well, what can he take that leap? Can he be that number one guy as a pass rusher? Because I think now he is going to be taking on that role. Baltimore's two 2021 first round picks in Rashad Bateman and Afaowe both sliding into that number one role at their respective positional group, with Rashad Bateman becoming that number one wideout, Afaowe becoming that number one outside linebacker. Always been dominant in training camp so far by all accounts. And I think that he's going to be a guy that is going to have to play really, really well this year because of some of the lack of depth there that they have at the edge position. We'll talk about that as the show goes on. And also, you know, just a side note for Rashad Bateman, you know, definitely not his best practice with the drops that he had. We've kind of seen drops creep in here and there for Rashad Bateman. So again, hopefully those are coming out in August, and they're not going to be coming out in January and maybe even February, who knows. But you want to have that stuff kind of ironed out in the training camp portion of things, not necessarily, hey, middle of the season when things actually do count. That would not be ideal. But that's what training camp's for, getting those things out, understanding, you know, what you got to work on. And for Bateman, you know, he and Lamar Jackson have had a ton of chemistry this offseason, but you know, the drops, they can't happen. And I know Rashad Bateman knows that. He's very talented overall. So those are some of the highlights from practice. And I think that for the Ravens is kind of practice winds down a little bit. And obviously they're still going to be practicing, but training camp, a couple more days of training camp here overall. Bateman did have the one deep pass, the deep catch, but they've shown a lot and there have been a lot of players that have stepped up. So I think over the course of the year, they're going to see players, not just star players, right? The Ravens have built so much depth over the course of this offseason where we've seen it hasn't just been, you know, Lamar Jackson's the only standout, Mark Andrews the only standout, Bateman, Owe. You know, we have heard from other players who are kind of under the radar, rookies as well. It's going to be a big year for rookies overall. So Baltimore has a lot of talent. I'm excited to see how they use it all, definitely. But coming up here on Locked On Ravens, we're going to be diving into the question of if the Ravens need to bring in a wide receiver of some sort. So be sure to stay tuned. We still have a ton to talk about here on the show. But first, though, I do want to tell you a bit about Elias Game Plan. And I highly recommend the Elias Game Plan app. It's the ultimate sports betting and fantasy companion for the NFL, NBA, and MLB. If you're into sports betting or fantasy, you need a competitive edge to win. Elias Game Plan is the only sports app from the most trusted name in sports, the Elias Sports Bureau, the official statisticians of the U.S. pro sports leagues, including the NFL. Their app lets you access team and player stats, head-to-head team comparisons, and Elias insights from the Elias Sports Bureau's research team. The app really is your one-stop source for player news, league-validated player stats, and team records. You have expert game analysis for betting. You can build your fantasy team. You can impress your friends also, which is a very important part of all this. And also, you can do a lot of things in terms of insights that they have. It really can help you know that strategy is backed by numbers, not just any intuition that you might have. So download the Elias Game Plan app today with new features available all the time. Take your game to the next level. The NFL season is right around the corner, so don't wait. You can find the Elias Game Plan in the App Store or the Play Store today. We're back here with our second segment of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher, your host, still here with you. Thank you. Thank you so much for making Locked On Ravens your first listen of the day here. Be sure to subscribe to us on YouTube, follow us in audio form, and also be sure to make your second listen, Locked On Fantasy Football, Locked On Dynasty, because we're going to have the latest NFL fantasy tips for you on Locked On Fantasy Football and Locked On Dynasty starting August 22nd. We're bringing you daily top 10 lists for Fantasy Draft Week. It's available on YouTube wherever you get your podcast, again, starting August 22nd. But all right, now let's talk about the question. Let's talk about the wide receiver position. You might have heard me talk about this before once or twice, you know, just maybe once or twice. We had the weekly Monday episode where it was like a couple months ago. Should the Ravens sign Will Fuller? Should the Ravens sign Julio Jones? Should the Ravens sign T.Y. Hilton? Should the Ravens sign Odell Beckham? We just kind of went through all the veteran options, kind of the later stages of free agency veteran options. But that was like a should they. Like, oh, like they don't need to, but should they? Would it be a good idea? And I had said for mostly all of them, like, yeah, I think it would be solid for them to at least kick the tires on some of these guys. Odell Beckham's a little bit iffy for me just in terms of the knee injury, is his torn ACL he suffered in the Super Bowl. Just when is the timeline for that? Are you looking at more of a Juwan James situation there where you bring him in on a two-year deal? The first year, not a ton of money. The second year, you pay him most of the contract and you get him for the full year. I don't know. But again, that's more of like a next year thing. The question I'm asking today, and I'm going to answer it, is do the Ravens need to bring in a veteran wide receiver of some sort, an experienced wide receiver of some sort? I'm not, you know, doesn't have to be a 10-year, 12-year guy, but just another guy. And my short answer is potentially, I know that's not really taking a stance, but I'm leaning more towards yes. And that's, I want to lay it out there now that I am all for seeing what these young guys have. I like Shamar Bridges a lot. I like Mekhi Polk a lot. I like Jalen Moore. I like Benjamin Victor. All those guys, they have tons of potential, tons of talent. And we saw it in the first preseason game. We've seen it throughout training camp. Where the need comes in here and why the question is being asked, you know, the way I'm asking it today, is the fact that injuries, and I kind of alluded to it in the intro a little bit, where the Ravens have seen Rashad Bateman miss a little bit of time. Devin Duvernay missed some time. James Prochet, Tylan Wallace missing some time. So if you're getting everybody back by week one, it's not really, you know, it's no harm, no foul, right? It's like, okay, they're back. Like they missed time. They missed some reps, the preseason, whatever, but they're back for the regular season. That's what counts. I'm like, sure, right? That's fair. But what if we're talking in week eight and Rashad Bateman has to miss a month? And then on top of that, you lose James Prochet a couple weeks later. What are you relying on? Because the Ravens, they're not going to be able to keep all of guys like Mekhi Polk, Shamar Bridges, Benjamin Victor, Jalen Moore, etc. Some guys are going to have to go on the practice squad. Other guys will probably find other teams, other practice squads, whatnot. But if that happens, you're dangerously thin already at the position where if even one guy goes down, you're relying on some undrafted guys, some younger, inexperienced players, which isn't a bad thing, right? I'm not saying that they can't do that. And if the Ravens don't add anybody, I've said it before, it is not the end of the world. I think they will be okay. But I think when you're looking at just what they have there and what it would be if a guy like Bateman had to miss time or a guy like Prochet had to miss time or Duvernay, etc., it becomes a very, very thin room, even thinner than it is at the moment. So then you talk about, well, who would they bring in? Will Fuller is a player that I think is probably the best option on the market right now. I don't think he's necessarily a needle-moving piece, but he is someone who can at least help that needle move a tiny bit, right? He's not going to sway things completely and say, oh, the Ravens signed Will Fuller, Super Bowl, right? Like, it's not that kind of move, but it will be a solid one. He's a speedster. But the thing with all these players that are on the market right now is the injury history. It's Will Fuller and his lengthy injury history, T.Y. Hilton, his lengthy injury history, Odell Beckham, his injury right now that he currently has rehabbing from that torn ACL. So those are kind of your top guys at the moment. So then you look to maybe the trade market and you say, well, who could they bring in a trade? You look across the league, Darius Slayton from the Giants has been someone who's been linked to the Ravens and linked, it's just a trade candidate from the Giants for a little bit now. You look to Tampa Bay, who signed Julio Jones, obviously brought in Russell Gage during the offseason, Chris Godwin coming back from an injury there. So is Tyler Johnson an option? I love Tyler Johnson, a former Minnesota guy, much like Rashad Bateman himself. Scotty Miller, is that a player that you're looking at for the Ravens? There are other players across the league that could make sense, but I think what the Ravens will – it's a question that honestly we could even revisit really in a couple weeks because of the fact that cutdowns are going to happen. The Ravens are, and all the other teams in the NFL are going to have to cut down their rosters to 53 players, and there are always one or two guys – who you kind of look at and you say, wow, I did not expect this player to get cut or that player to get cut. And one player actually who did end up getting cut, and I'm going to look up the stats here now, is DeMarcus Robinson from the, well, formerly Kansas City Chiefs. He played for the Las Vegas Raiders for a little bit, but the Raiders actually released DeMarcus Robinson, who did, again, was not a staple on that Kansas City offense, but had a role in that Kansas City offense. The stats are up here now, and what I have is 145 receptions, 1,679 yards, and 14 touchdowns for the Kansas City Chiefs. He played his whole career there before signing with the Raiders, and he's a player that is 6'1", 202 pounds, has the experience, and again, it's like he's not a number one receiver. He's not going to move the needle. And those are kind of the players you're looking at right now, unless you really go out there and want to give up some draft capital. But, you know, the DK Metcalfs aren't available anymore. The Deebo Samuels aren't available anymore. Both those guys signing big term or long term extensions, big time extensions too. So you're looking at those needle movers that aren't really like they're going to swing everything, but maybe it's, oh, they help win a game here or there. They help a touchdown drive or they help something else happen. And honestly, that just might be what the Ravens need, just to have that insurance on their roster. Because again, I do think Baltimore is keeping five wide receivers, but I think at the same time, the team just with two third year guys and two second year guys, there's an experience. Tylan Wallace hasn't necessarily shined throughout training camp so far. People are still looking to see more from him. We've seen flashes from James Prochet and Devin Duvernay and Rashad Bateman. You know, those guys I have confidence in. I have confidence in Tylan Wallace too, but I need to see him do something, right? I need to hear something about from Tylan Wallace. He's out right now with an injury. So you would have these players who could come in and just provide that stable presence a little bit, you know, have been around for a little while now. And again, it doesn't have to be a guy who's played for 10 years, right? Other guys out there include Emmanuel Sanders, Cole Beasley, some of these other experienced veterans who have played a little bit. Then you're getting into the D.D. Westbrooks and those types of players. So again, not players you're going to write home about and say, oh, well, the Ravens need to sign this guy. But I think it's just like the principle of maybe needing to sign somebody, where I think need is maybe a little bit of a strong word, where it's like, oh, they need to or else the whole season's done. I don't want it to come off that way. But if things get bad, like if, it, again, in week eight, you're missing Bateman, you're missing Prochet, and you're just looking to bring somebody in, it might be too late at that point. I've been very consistent throughout the entire offseason of saying the fact that, hey, look, I would definitely prefer Baltimore to bring in a veteran wide receiver. I think that would be the right route to go. Again, no shade to the young players. I think that Shamar Bridges can make this team. John Harbaugh has talked so much about him and the special teams ability, the ability he showed again, like in week one against the preseason against Tennessee. He's done stuff in training camp too, right? Mekhi Polk impressed. You've seen flashes from Jalen Moore in training camp, from Benjamin Victor as well. So they have the talent there, but I just think a veteran would help them out a lot. And, you know, in terms of like a Will Fuller, you have to take these guys. And I talked about it with Julio too, the injury situations, you have to understand that those are like a thing. It's a thing. You can't just ignore that. Baltimore kind of did a little bit with Sammy Watkins last year, I feel like. And like it happens where Sammy Watkins was signed by the Ravens. And what did everybody say immediately, or at least some people? He's probably going to miss some games, right? You hope he doesn't. You hope it's not. You hope he's fully healthy. Obviously, you don't wish anybody to get injured. But the injury history clearly showed that Sammy Watkins was probably going to miss some time in 2021. And he did. He came back and really wasn't the same player, kind of lost his role a little bit on the team. So if you sign a Will Fuller, if you sign a T.Y. Hilton, you understand the injury history is there, right? You understand that there'll probably be some missed games. But if you can get, I don't know, 11, 12 games out of Will Fuller, and you understand you're prepared for that, you have the guys on the practice squad, because Baltimore, I think, they can stash some of those guys in the practice squad. Probably not everyone. They might see one or two guys get claimed off of waivers or maybe called up or something like that. But I think that the whole principle is they have seen their guys miss time. Spencer Schultz talked about it on yesterday's show. They've seen their guys miss time right now. And if it happens in the regular season and guys just continue to miss a week here or 3 weeks here or a month there, it becomes a lot more of an issue than in the just in the preseason, where it's already kind of like a should they do it? Should they not? Should they do it? Should they not? So I think that Baltimore will definitely benefit. Again, the word need is a strong word because I don't think that the Ravens season hinges on if they sign a veteran or not. But it is kind of like they're almost like playing with fire a little bit, like not completely, because they have the talent in the undrafted room in terms of their wideouts they brought in, some of the second, third year guys like Benjamin Victor, Jalen Moore, et cetera. But at the same time, I think a veteran that experience, those guys just know how to, you know, they know how to read defenses a little bit at the NFL level. They've been there for a little longer. And that doesn't mean that like a veteran is always going to be better than a young guy, right? We have seen like, is DeMarcus Robinson better than Justin Jefferson, even though Justin Jefferson's played less years? No, like not at all. Exactly that to that kind of point. I don't want to say, well, any veteran the Ravens bring in is going to be better than Jamar Bridges or better than whoever. That's not the case. You know, it has to be the right fit. The Ravens have to figure that out if it is. But I'll be shocked if they haven't at least considered the idea, at least have it crossed their brains to say, hey, do we need to do this or not? So I wouldn't expect anything to happen in the coming weeks. I'd probably, if anything would happen before the year, I think it would happen around cut down day. But we'll see. We'll see what ends up happening there. But do the Ravens need to bring in a veteran wide receiver? I think they'd benefit from it. That's what my final answer would be. I think they would definitely still benefit from bringing in a veteran wide receiver, whether that is through free agency or also via trade. Went into our final break here, though, on Locked On Ravens. Still a ton to talk about. We'll dive into mailbag questions coming up next. Still a ton to talk about here on Locked On Ravens. But first, I do want to tell you a bit about Bet Online. And BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your betting news. You can find all your favorite sports and events at the number one online source for odds, lines, and games. Find the recent news of every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports racing information, from live in-game betting, scores, and podcasts. They have you covered. Head to BetOnline today. Use the mobile device to learn more about the action happening today. BetOnline, where the game starts. We're back here. Our final segment of Locked On Ravens, closing out the show here. Kevin Ostreicher, your host, still here with you. And again, thank you so much for making Locked On Ravens your first listen today. Be sure to subscribe on YouTube and follow along in audio form. But now we're going to be diving into some mailbag questions. We have a lot here from Eric Clark, and I'm very happy Eric decided to ask all these questions because he has a lot of good ones. We'll start off here. He says, Powers has to be traded for an edge, right? Any potential targets on other teams you think he could fetch? Wide receiver is good, meaning if Prochet, Duve, Tylan don't play any more preseason, we know we have four wide receivers for week one that Lamar Jackson trusts. Edge, we only have three in OA, Houston, and Hayes. Yeah, I might even throw Steven Means in that conversation, but yes, the point being that I think edge is a need for them. I think Ben Powers is I don't want to say likely because you never really know, but I think he is a definite potential trade candidate. And I think edge could be a position. You could go maybe one for one or Powers in a pick for a talented guy. Like any names like Kalavon Chasen from the Jaguars could be a guy who potentially could be available, and you maybe package Powers with a pick or something if you want to get him on the team and see how that works out. But I think that the edge position with Vince Beagle going down with, again, it's kind of like the conversation we just had about wide receivers. If Adafi Owe goes down and misses some time, where are you looking at edge right there? Do you have options? Well, it depends on if Tyus Bowser is able to come back in week one, or is it week eight? When is David Ojabo going to be able to come back? Is that a this year thing or a next year thing? So I think for Baltimore, when everybody's healthy, when they have their full complement of guys, their edge room is actually one of the better positions on paper on their roster. But again, you don't want to 100% bank on that health and just wait and wait and wait and wait. And then maybe stuff doesn't go the way you're anticipating, and then you have to wait even longer. So yeah, I think the Powers, there could be some edge candidates on the market. And again, this could also be a situation where the Ravens could trade Powers for a pick and then sign a cut guy who gets cut by a team from the edge position during cut down day. So there are a lot of options there. But yeah, in terms of Powers in the edge position, maybe there is a one for one or Powers and a pick for a guy type deal, but it is an interesting proposition from Eric for sure. And then we also have three more from Eric, so I want to dive into these. He says, Polk and Bridges have two in the lead for wide receiver five, right? Also with Wallace's injury, do you see a bigger chance that we carry six wide receivers? Yeah, I think for now Shamar Bridges is my number five in terms of like if everything ended today, if the Ravens had to cut down to 53, I would put Bridges on the roster as number five. For me, I think Jalen Moore is number six and Mekhi Polk's number seven. And it's really close between six and seven. Like, you could honestly flip-flop Mekhi Polk and Jalen Moore if you wanted to. But I think Shamar Bridges is my number five, followed by Jalen Moore. And then you have Mekhi Polk. And then in terms of keeping six wide receivers, I think it's possible. I still think right now they keep five because, again, if you add another wide receiver, you have to take away from somewhere else. So is that a running back? Is that a tight end? Is that an offensive lineman, a cornerback, a safety? I have kind of come around to the idea, not that I like was against it, but I think that we might see some handshake agreements potentially with guys who maybe get cut so they can place guys on IR. Like Charlie Kohler, for example, feels like a pretty prime IR candidate right now. So maybe a guy like Tony Jefferson or Steven Means get cut, but say it'll be a, hey, we're going to cut you now, but we're going to bring you back right after. It's kind of like what they did with Anthony Levine last year, and they've done it before. So yeah, I think six wide receivers, they could do it. If they were, again, right now, it'd be Jalen Moore for me and Shamar Bridges. But it's interesting because I still think they're going to go back to that more run heavy style offense. And that, I think, in turn would be four running backs, four tight ends, and five wide receivers. But we'll see. I think there's a bigger possibility of it now, at least in my opinion, than there was maybe a couple weeks ago overall. Then our next question from Eric, did Justice Hill do enough to be running back four? It's tough. Well, if we're talking, there are situations. Let's say Gus Edwards goes on the PUP list and has to miss the first six games of the year or the first couple games of the season. I think in that case, yes, Justice Hill did do enough to be the running back four. I think he has showed so far, and obviously, like, I don't want to say, oh yes, Justice Hill is the automatic lock for the fourth or fifth running back spot because there are still more preseason games. He has to continue the momentum. It can't just be all in the first preseason game, then nothing the rest of the time. But I think the first preseason game was very, very encouraging for him. And I think if, again, Gus Edwards has to go on the PUP list or IR or something, I think the Ravens would probably go into the year with J.K. Dobbins, Tyler Beatty, Mike Davis, and Justice Hill. But then if Gus Edwards comes back, I don't think they're keeping five guys. So, like, who's the odd man out there? I don't think it's Davis. I don't think it's Beatty unless just something crazy happens there. They have cut draft picks before who haven't impressed, and Beatty wasn't necessarily super impressive in week one, but it's only one game of the preseason. He's still very talented. So I think he would have to do a lot to overtake Tyler Beatty, like a lot. But again, the Ravens keep the players they think can help. They can help win the game with them. So I think for the Ravens, Justice Hill is a player who is definitely much more intriguing to me now than he was 2 weeks ago, based off of everything that we've seen from him. And then finally, our final question from Eric talking about Tony Jefferson has said that Geno is taking on the co-cap role. How cool is that? The personal protector and dime back is something a young player prioritized to make sure he has a spot on the team. Feels so much like Chuck Clark's story of staying ready. And yeah, I agree. It's a really cool story. And I saw Geno Stone lining up as the personal protector during the preseason game. I'm like, hey, that's where Anthony Levine used to be. And it's kind of cool because we saw the clip of them. It was the Colts game in 2020 when Anthony Levine was talking with Geno Stone and Levine was mic'd up and everything, talking to Geno Stone about, hey, you know, your time is coming, you know, stay the course. Don't do this, do this. And just giving him advice. And now we see Geno Stone taking over that role. For me, he's a almost sure lock for me. He's a player that really helped his stock in the first preseason game, but it's really cool to see him kind of embody all these different types of roles and understand that, look, defense isn't the only way that he can contribute on this team. Special teams is huge. We talked about it with Shamar Bridges and John Harbaugh. I think that for Levine to kind of see that torch be passed off from him to Stone is a pretty cool thing, not just for us, but for him also. I think that's a really cool thing. We're also going to dive into a question now from M, who says, with Isaiah Likely looking very promising, what do you think this upcoming season will look like for him? Biggest strengths and weaknesses so far? Well, for Likely, I think you're looking at a player that's obviously such a talented pass catcher. The blocking does leave a little bit to be desired, but I'm not going to put too much into that right now. A lot of that stuff is pretty easily correctable. And again, coming out like Mark Andrews coming out of Oklahoma was not known as this amazing blocker. You know, the pass catching aspect of his game was very much his strength coming out of college, but he has turned into a very solid, you could call it two-way tight end in terms of passing or pass catching and blocking. That's really big. And he's taken pride in kind of honing that part of his game. And for Likely, I think we're going to see a huge role for him out of the gate. Like I'm very excited for him because of the ability that he and Andrews can do just playing off of each other, working in the red zone together, and giving them an option that they can move seriously all around the field. You want to line them up out wide, line them up in line, in the slot. You can line them off the line. You can do so many things with him, and that's why I'm so excited for what he can bring, because we saw it in the first preseason game where we saw that, and it's like it's in training camp too. It's the practices that we've seen, the highlights we've seen, what we've heard, you know, just being able to go up and dominate. He's doing it against really good talent, and he's done it in game situations, practice situations. I'm expecting a big year from Isaiah Likely for sure. Our next question here comes from Afi DeFoy, who says, "Hello, Kevin. Ravens have some players on the PUP list. Which one is the most concerning in your opinion? Thanks for your work and have a nice day." Well, you have a nice day too, as always. Thank you for your question. And yeah, they still have some players. So the PUP tracker, as I called it on Twitter, you have J.K. Dobbins off the list, Marcus Peters off the list, Darius Washington off the list. Still on it though is Ronnie Stanley, is Gus Edwards, and is Tyus Bowser. Now, the one that feels like will take the longest time, just based off of everything that we've heard, kind of reading like in between the line, like tea leaves and stuff, and reading the room, it feels like Gus Edwards will be the guy who comes back last. Now, it doesn't really feel like at this point he'll be ready for week one. It just, that's the stuff when the reports that have come out. I'm not saying he is or isn't going to be. I don't know that information. But it just feels like, based off what we've heard, it's like, maybe he's going to take a little bit longer to recover and be back in the middle of the year or the beginning-ish middle of the year. But the one that, if you want a concerning one, the one that I'm most concerned about is probably Ronnie Stanley. His injury was just so brutal back in 2020. We saw that he just wasn't the same player, opted for the other surgery, which I think was the smart decision. He's been working hard to rehab. He's been working really, really, really hard. And he's such an important part of this offensive line. We've seen that. You know, he's a huge part of what they do. But if he's not able to have the gain that mobility back, to be able to gain his athleticism back based off of that, and if he doesn't look like the same player, that's a big blow to the Ravens. And you never know. Like, some guys respond much better coming out from injuries than other guys. It just happens. And it's not anyone's fault. Right? It's not Ronnie Stanley's fault if it happens. And I'm hoping it doesn't. Knocking on wood and everything. And I have confidence in him for sure. But it is a little bit concerning just based off of what we saw from him last year, just going back for the other surgery. So hopefully that was able to clean everything up, and we'll be able to see Ronnie Stanley back in his all-pro form in 2022. And then finally here, last question from Ramel. Have you been hearing anything on Marcus Williams? How was he looking? Yeah, I know Marcus Williams has been, I guess when compared to others, when you're looking at just training camp updates, more on the quiet side. We did see him yesterday have one of those plays that the Ravens posted on Twitter, which was nice. But sometimes players just have quieter training camps, it's not a bad thing. It doesn't mean they're not playing well or something's wrong. You know, some guys just are learning the defense. And for Marcus Williams, you know, coming into a new system, trying to learn everything, Mike McDonald's probably working with him in a bunch of different roles. Just because he hasn't had necessarily like, oh, Marcus Williams had a pick six or Marcus Williams was around the ball all day, doesn't mean he's not having a good camp or is learning a lot or anything. So while he hasn't been like this training camp standout in terms of, oh, he's getting talked about every single day, I think when we see him hit the field in week one, we're going to see the impact that he has as kind of that single high guy. You can roam him all around the field. They haven't had that presence since Earl Thomas back in 2019. And before that, obviously, it was Ed Reed. So I think for Baltimore to have a player like Marcus Williams is so huge, especially in a room that also has Kyle Hamilton and has guys like Chuck Clark and Tony Jefferson and Geno Stone. So I'm excited for the safety room, one of the deepest, if not the deepest positions on that roster. But that's all I have you here today on Locked On Ravens. Thank you so much for tuning in. When we get back here tomorrow, we're diving into more Ravens talk. So be sure to stay tuned for that. And I will see you right back here tomorrow.